the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. I'm so excited, you guys. I have Taylor Lynn Finger joining me on this episode. She is my former trio mate from Stealing Angels. We traveled the country together. We opened for Tim McGraw, Lady A, went on a USO tour. We lived together in a house for like 3 years together on top of touring together. I mean, that's a lot of time together. I know this girl so much. She's also in recovery. She shares that story. She's the mother of two beautiful boys. She's Loretta Lynn's granddaughter. She has a tribute to her that she travels all around the country doing. She is so hilarious. We laugh so hard we cry. And so in the beginning of this episode, I promise it's just a little bit of laughing, but we cannot stop laughing. It is so good to talk to her. I know you're going to love this interview. So here she is, Taylor Lynn Finger, and we're laughing our butts off. Okay, I'm here with Taylor Lynn Finger. No, I don't want it. Taylor Lynn. I'm here with Taylor Lynn
Finger.
Taylor Lynn's your stage name, though, right?
Well, can we start over?
No. So, Taylor Lynn. Oh, guys, this is going to be an interview because Taylor has... Oh, gosh, Taylor. The problem is Taylor and I used to be in a trio. And now, why are you making me laugh? Stop.
We did this for years.
And we laughed so hard we cried. What is happening here? Okay, Taylor. Taylor, pull it together. We got to start the interview. I'm sweating. Okay. We have to start the interview. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question and tell me the first thing that comes to mind, okay? Happiness.
Oh.
What?
This. You know what? Honestly, good friendships where you can guttural laugh. I think that's a word. Guttural.
You have tears all over your face.
I'm streaming tears because... We really did this for so long, and is there any better happiness than innocent laughter that you just can't even stop?
Do you know that I laugh harder with you than I think anyone?
Oh, my gosh. Listen, when we used to do that on state, I want to say to anyone that's listening, we would do this in radio stations.
We'd start laughing, and we couldn't stop.
On air.
On air. Laugh. Like, crying laughing.
Oh, my gosh. We've done this at the CMA Fest. I mean, like, we literally would have to just walk away and just not look at each other.
Why do you make me laugh so hard?
I have no idea what it is. I have no idea. I think we used to do it to escape a little bit, you know,
yeah,
like escape our reality for a minute. But now
it's
I have no idea. Okay, we got it. I think we got through it.
Okay, so happiness is this. Okay, what's your vision?
What's my vision?
For your life and career.
Oh. Okay.
Just the word vision.
Okay. Oh, okay, Sharon. Caroline's mom's name is Sharon, and she is a philosopher. So, okay, vision.
Don't think about this. It's rapid fire.
Oh, rapid fire. Vision. You didn't say this is rapid fire.
It's rapid fire.
Okay, vision.
Yeah.
2020. yeah, I think my vision is right now. Honestly, I mean, I know
so you're in the moment.
I am in the moment.
Is that something you've come to? Because you did not used to live in the moment. And I know this because we were in a band, Stealing Angels, together, which we'll get into. You're also the granddaughter of Loretta Lynn, which we're going to get into. And you're your own person and badass, just period.
And we'll just get into all that. Yeah, I think I've had to work really hard to be in the moment. Somebody just said to me yesterday, and it could have actually been you, that said, you always want what you don't have.
It was you.
Yeah, because like I live on a farm right now, and I'm like, well, maybe I need a little bit more town. And when I have somebody that I trust and love, like you, that'll say, that knows me and will say, you know, you always want just a little bit different. And then I'll go, oh, you're right.
Right.
So I'm 100% happy where I'm at right now. And my vision is right now. I have a career that I love. I have a family that I love. I have good friends. I don't have any enemies. I have...
Isn't that a great place, like, to get through that dramatic 20 phase, like 20s, 30s, because you're reaching the big...
40.
Oh, we used to lie about your age. We're loud
years.
And proud about
Remember
it.
Remember that one time that we did, I'll never forget it, we did that interview, and it says... We each would take interviews on, and Caroline did a printed interview that said, Taylor is 34. Taylor is divorced. And we had been saying I was 29 and certainly not divorced. But yes, I am divorced, married again, and I'm going to be 40.
So how did that feel when I, in that part of your life, when we were doing Stealing Angels and we were like trying to make it on the radio, how did that make you feel when that was printed? 34, divorce. Because that was
a
chapter of your life.
You know what? I was ashamed of that. At the time, I was ashamed of that. I was trying to be somebody that I was myself in so many ways. But I, you know, you're 7 years younger than me. Jen was 5 years younger. Y'all were in your 20s. I was in my 30s. So I was trying to be 25.
Jen Wayne was the other member of Stealing Angels.
Mm-hmm.
She's now in a great band called Runaway June.
They're doing amazing. And their lead singer now is like 25, I think. So, and yeah. Jen's older, and yeah. So I don't know. I'm sure she kind of gets it, but ADHD just.
So
fell in.
How
did it feel? I was just ashamed, you know. I mean, I wanted to be 25. I wanted to weigh 95 pounds, and I had to pretend that that's what was up. Now I'm embracing fully who I am. I have two kids. I have a wonderful husband. I'm gonna be 40 next month, and. I'm finally embracing that part of myself because I love myself enough.
Isn't it really great to get to the place where you love yourself? I feel like I finally got there. Like, I always, like, liked myself, and I loved myself, but, like, I didn't fully love all of myself. And I feel like maybe we had a little bit of that in common.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when you're in your 20s, you don't know anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
20s are just a crapshoot.
They just really are. I mean, you're just kind
of
just
out.
Swimming through it, you know? And then you start getting in your 30s, and you really turn into a woman, and you know kind of who you are, what you want. And then I think after you're about 35 years old, that's when you start going, okay, this is really who I am, and I'm okay with that.
So who are you?
Oh, we're
deep. What is your soul? Like, what is your, who is the core of Taylor Lynn Finger?
The word that keeps throwing in my mind is joyful.
How wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have a lot of joy. I think I exude joy. I try to bring joy to my children, to my husband. We laugh. I'm a laugher. I mean, I just love to laugh. I love to have a good time. I'm a nurturer today. You know, I love to cook and clean and take care of my family. But I'm still that performer that's, you know, balls to the wall, 110. I love to perform.
Feel like you found a good balance?
I think that's going to be a forever thing, trying to find balance. You know, I'm either too busy or bored. I mean, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's really no in between for you, huh?
Well, there's really not, because when I go, most of my shows are in the Pacific Northwest out in Seattle where we lived for a while, and I'll go out there and I'll take both kids and we'll go for a month and I'll have 15 shows and then I'll just be insane, and then I'll come home to our farm and I'm sitting there for 3 weeks and I am like, oh my God, I'm going to claw my own skin off. So being in the moment, yeah.
So that's when you bring your mom over, Cindy Plymouth, who's hilarious, and you make exercise videos on the front porch with a million dogs running through and your mom doing like leg time.
Well, and my husband will go, please. So in those moments, that's when I'll bring mama over with Mason, who is my four-year-old nephew, who is crazy. And he and my four-year-old son together just tear the house up. I join, you know, Beachbody and Advocare, and I start selling things. And then I start a mom's group in town, and my husband is like, babe, please, don't take anything else on. I promise you're going to wig out.
Yeah.
And so then I just, you know.
Yeah.
Get in the Bible and hit my knees and pray to God that I'll find balance.
Okay, so let's get into, like, your life. I have a few. Well, actually, I'm going to ask you a few more questions.
Okay, are these rapid fire or are these
real?
Yeah,
you kind of answered all these questions. Yeah, they're rapid fire. What does faith mean to you?
Do you edit these?
No.
Oh, good. What does faith mean to Jesus Christ? But it's not that, you know, I think there's a lot of hateful religion talk. I think I'm from the South. I'm from the Bible Belt. I mean, it's like if you didn't love Jesus, then you were awful. And I moved to Seattle, and I saw so much hatred come from religious groups.
Right.
And I'm not that. I mean, I love my homosexuals, and I love, you know, I mean.
You love everybody.
I do. And I'm, you know, pro-choice, and I believe that Jesus is the way to get to heaven. But I think that it's everyone's personal journey.
You're not taking it on to be the judge of everyone.
No, and I love Jesus, and I love my religion. I love God, and he has saved me. And I think he can save you, too. But I want that to be between you and God. And if I can help you, let me help you.
Yeah.
But my very best friend and my husband, they're both atheists, you know? And that is cool. Do your thing, man. Be you.
I agree with you on that. Everyone has their own journey. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we have background music. If y'all can hear it, Taylor's hosting. Tell me what you're hosting right now.
Well, first of all, let me tell you how OCD that Caroline is, that this is really bothering her. I don't even think y'all can hear it. I am hosting. It's called Nashville Bike Week, and we are having the pre-party tonight. Next September 2017 is a huge bash. And OPS, you're co-hosting one night with me. I just got you a job.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, friend.
I said we'd have a great time. We would be awesome. Best. We're going to do the Hard Rock night because we're not going to do country.
Great.
Because I thought we would be good at doing an alternative. So we're going to do that. So it's next. Let me tell you about it.
Next September.
There's going to be like 100,000 motorcycle riders out to the ranch. Nashville.
Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch.
It's 60 miles west of Nashville. There are going to be bands every night. Our headliners right now are Shooter Jennings, Jamie Johnson, Colt Ford.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down.
It's going to be great, babe. I mean, they're going to have honky-tonks up and down out in the cornfields.
So Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch is fun, though. It's a place to go. It's like a destination, and there's tons of fun concerts that happen like that.
Are we talking about this now?
Sure.
So, Meemaw's Ranch, you know, we moved out there.
And Meemaw's Loretta.
Meemaw is Loretta. And we moved out there. There is camping and cabins, and you can tour her home that's on Coal Miner's Daughter. Jim, who was her bus driver for 30 years, is the one that gives you the tours of the home. There's a western town. You might see her outside planting flowers or feeding a skunk.
Because everybody lives there. She has a pet skunk.
Yeah, babe. You would love it.
I always wanted a pet. Did she get it desacked? Or does she have the sack intact?
Babe, I bet she has the sack in there.
So that skunk can spray?
Yeah, she don't care.
Loretta Lynn's getting sprayed by a skunk while she's planting flowers?
Well, it has squirted before, whatever it's called.
Are you serious?
Yeah, babe.
Your grandmother, the living legend Loretta Lynn, has a pet skunk?
When we were little, she took a ferret out. I mean, she's had ferrets, raccoons, squirrels.
She loves rodents.
Yeah, she does. Well, she loves squirrel meat.
So she has the pet squirrel and then she'll eat it?
I don't know if it was a pet and then she ate it, but.
What is she? Did she bring him on the bus?
She did. I mean,
did she bring the skunk on the bus?
No, Caro.
Where does the skunk live?
Under the house.
Oh, so it's like a
wild
skunk. It's
not living in the house. She just feeds it.
She didn't go buy it at the store and like raise it.
Where do they sell skunks, Caroline?
You can buy pet skunks.
Okay. let me tell you something about Caroline. I'm sure she's told you. When we all met her, she would carry around a sugar glider in her bra.
Yeah.
Okay? And it would fly everywhere. I never saw it personally fly, but I'm sure it did.
I love rodents. Me and Loretta have that in common.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, great. She has a pet skunk. Did she name it?
No.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. We're going to move on. So, all of the Lynn clan lives at Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch. From Loretta to the twins, Patsy and Peggy, to your dad, Ernie.
Yeah.
To you.
That's right.
And your husband. Who else lives there?
That is it. The twins don't live there anymore either. Oh. That's where they grew up, and Patsy lived down the street forever. But now Peggy has an amazing farm called Madison Creek Farm. She does CSA. I mean, you should go see her at the farmer's market. You would love it.
Okay.
And Patsy is managing Meemaw and producing her records.
So she's moved into producing it. Isn't she producing your record?
She is.
So you have a new EP and a
record. I have a new EP out right now called The Ranch.
Oh, what was it?
Yes.
Inspired by?
It was inspired by living on the ranch because I recorded it with London Tone Records out in Seattle, but since then we've moved back to the ranch.
We're going to get into all of that, too.
Yeah,
since
can't
we're here,
wait, babe.
I want to talk about your EP.
So it's called The Ranch. It has a duet with Meemaw, Loretta Lynn on there. It's Honky Tonk Girl, the first song she ever recorded. And actually, James House, who wrote Martina McBride's Beautiful Wing and a few other songs I can't think of the top of my head
Broken
right
Wing?
Now. Broken Wing? Did I just call it Beautiful Wing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Broken Wing. See?
Just checking.
Just, yeah, bro, you know, beautiful wing.
It's a beautiful broken wing.
Oh, God. So Broken Wing, yeah, he did that. He produced that song and the song Coal Dust.
Oh, love Coal Dust.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay. And also, you're in a duo now with a Grammy winning guitar player?
Yes. He won a Grammy for its acoustic finger style picking. Yeah. I mean, he's just great. Eric Teamstead, and he'll play on the record. We'll make it out here in Nashville. But yeah, we tour all over the West Coast, and people just love Eric. I mean, he is a star out there. It is a whole different type of music than I'm used to, what he does with. He has a, now that music is starting to.
It's just ramping up. You know, we're getting to the good part.
Yeah. Teamstead and Rumble is who he's with. And they do this kind of, I don't know what kind of music it is. It's very confusing to me. But with me, it just does country. We do a Loretta Lynn tribute. And
you just play around.
Yeah.
You are a little duo. Do you have a name?
No, it's just Taylor Lynn. No, Caroline. I mean.
Taylor Lynn and Eric.
Teamstead.
I love this.
Yeah, it's they say Taylor Lynn, granddaughter of Loretta Lynn, with Grammy award-winning artist Eric Teamstead.
You know, that's a good. It's all about how you present things.
Hey, it's branded. People like it's it. Branded. And his wife's our booking agent. She's been a booking.
They got it all in the family, man.
Yeah, might as well.
So that's a you're sweating over
it's
there.
It's a little hot.
It's a little hot.
Well, and we have the door closed because it's so loud.
But I mean, it's really not helping.
It's fine. We're on the back of this. Gibson bus.
Guitar bus.
So
awesome.
I think there's six of them, and three of them are out in L.A. all the time, and the other three are here in Nashville, and they just take them around to big events and host the artists.
It's really awesome.
Yes. Yeah, super cool.
So you grew up really country. Let's start at the beginning. You grew up in Nashville.
I grew up in a small town called Franklin, which is about 20 miles south of Nashville.
And you are Loretta's granddaughter.
Yes.
When did you realize that you have a living legend for a grandmother?
You know, I actually get that question asked a lot lately for some reason. I don't know why it's coming around now, but maybe because I'm doing the Loretta Lynn tribute. Not until I was about 19, my grandfather passed away, and I moved in with Meemaw into her house in Nashville. And so I started going on the road with her professionally. And when I was younger, I went on the road with her all the time, but I never watched her. I always went on the fair rides, and we had these bands so we could get first in line.
Okay.
When I started watching the audience watch her for the first time in my life, I thought, oh, my God, they love her. Like, they love her. You could see it. I mean, it was like people watching Elvis or something. You know, people crying and singing and moving. And it wasn't like these big concerts that you see today where people are jumping up and down and they're just so fired up to be at a concert. It's about her.
And they love her music and what she has to say.
Yeah, I mean, and she'll talk throughout her whole show and just people just hanging on every word. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. And, you know, back then I didn't really know a difference. I just knew that she was special. I knew she was special as my grandmother anyway, and I knew she was famous, but I didn't understand what she was until that moment.
Is that when you started singing?
Started singing when I was very small.
So you've always sung?
I've singing since out of the womb, mama says.
Okay, did you just sing because you sang? It's in your blood?
Yes.
Or is it because your dad sings too?
Well, I mean, dad's a singer. My aunts are singers. My cousins are singers.
The singing was everywhere.
It was everywhere. And, that's
the firework.
The pyrotechnics
right
just went off, y'all.
And it's a party now.
And mama loved to sing too. And so we would just sing all the time and dance around to ABBA. And, you know, we sang. That's just what we did.
When did you realize that you wanted to do it professionally and for your life?
Always.
Even before my mom
must have put it in my head.
Even before you knew Loretta was Loretta and this was in your blood.
I always knew Loretta was Loretta. You asked when I knew she was a living legend.
Oh, okay.
So I always knew that she was famous and that she was a big singer and she sang and she had fans. I just didn't know the extent to how she moved people until I was older.
Okay.
But I always wanted to be her.
Okay.
I mean, always. But my mom would always say, oh, you know, it's okay that you've got F's and all that because you're going to be a singer. I'm like, exactly, Mom. I mean, my mom was so crazy.
I love your mom. Tell me about your childhood. What was it like?
Tell you about my childhood. What it was like. What does that really mean?
Tell me what it was like growing up in a very famous family.
Well, Mom and Dad got divorced before I was born. So I was born Julie Ray Lynn.
Oh, yeah, you have changed your name.
Yes. I was born Julie Ray Lynn, and then about 2 years later, they changed it.
Julie Ray Lynn.
To Taylor Vanette Greer.
How on earth did that happen?
And so Granddaddy said, we can't keep changing her name, so we're going to call her Pooh Willie.
Why did they change your name to begin with?
My mom was so in love with my dad. She'll love to hear this interview. Mama was so in love with Daddy that she wanted to get back at him. So she thought, I'll take his rights away. I'll get married again, and I'll let this guy adopt her. So, and John Greer was a great guy.
So someone completely adopted you away from your dad.
Yeah.
Did you get readopted by your dad?
Yes. Well,
gosh,
I mean,
your life is crazy.
Well, okay. John was never, I mean, he was my dad for a while. But, I mean,
John
then mom
Greer?
Got divorced, John Greer. Then she got divorced and then got married again to Roger. And
did they change your name when she married Roger?
No, it remained Taylor Vanette Greer. And then when I was 18, I changed it to Taylor Vanette Lynn. Yeah.
How long did it say? Where did Vanette come from?
Okay, so get this. Pawpaw, Loretta's husband, my dad's dad, his middle name is Vanette.
So
she kept it, but without telling John Greer that I was still going to be,
Lynn.
She slid that Vanette in there.
So your granddad, Pawpaw, said we can't keep changing her name?
No, Granddaddy, Granny's husband, Mama's daddy.
So he's going to call you Pooh Bear?
Pooh Willie.
Legally?
Well, no, babe. Not legally. Well, on his deathbed, I wrote him a song, Pooh Willie. Now, I had been on the drugs at that time. So
how did you get into that phase of life?
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
So Granddaddy's lying there dying, right?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
God love his heart. He's dying. I've relapsed. I am standing over his bed saying, here comes Pooh Willie.
Are you messed up?
At this point, yes. Not right now. Of course, I'm
obviously
sober. But, yeah. And he said, Taylor, I think you really need to find some faster songs to start singing.
Some what?
Faster songs to start singing.
On his
I don't think he liked the song.
That
Pooh
was
Willie.
What was happening on his deathbed.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So okay, so you get adopted by Greer. You change your name from Julie.
Well,
Ray
I just want to say this.
Julie Ray Lynn's a really pretty name.
It's a beautiful name.
Why'd
Hold on.
You never
Let
go
me
back
say
to
this
that?
In case my aunt is listening to this. When my grandfather died, it was a very beautiful moment. I do want to say that.
Right.
He tried to save my husband on his deathbed. And I'll never forget that. Him talking about the love of Jesus Christ to my husband. And Van Westbrooks is his name. And he was a father figure to me for so many years. And he was a wonderful man. So I don't want to make light of his death. So I really do want to say that just in case we're laughing about it.
Right.
But I do want to pay
tribute,
major respect to Van Westbrooks and his daughter, Angie, because they have helped raise me and are wonderful people, and I would never want to disrespect them at all.
Totally.
So I just want to put that little disclaimer in there.
There's a lot of people in your life. It's like it's like connecting the dots.
There's a lot.
I've known you for 10 years, and I'm trying to connect the dots.
I know it's a lot. You know Angie, though.
I know Angie. Okay, so for people listening, so you're born, your parents are divorced before you're born, your dad's Loretta's son, your mom loves your dad so much, she says, I'm going to take your name away from him to get him back with slides and Vanette. So that's why you changed from Julie Ray Lynn to
Taylor Vanette Greer.
Okay.
So then I live the rest of my childhood in Franklin. It was a tumultuous childhood. There was abuse. There was abandonment there. But there was also laughter and fun and music. Music always saved us. Between Jesus and music, there was always a saving grace there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we had donkeys in the backyard. We lived in junkyards. We were poor. We were redneck rich, you know? And then
which is hard to believe. People would never believe that because you come from a famous
People are always
family.
Shocked. Even people that knew me growing up that we were ever poor or that there was ever any abuse that went on because
people have an image in their mind.
Exactly.
People paint an image and they think it's one way when really sometimes famous families are the most
tortured that there are. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So how did you get into drugs and alcohol in that season of your life? And how did you get out of it?
Well, when I was 13 or 14, I took my first drink. My stepdad let me drink. And I got drunk and blacked out, threw up everywhere. And the next day I thought, oh my gosh, I want to do it again. That was the most fun I've ever had. And I've got to do it again. And so I did it again and again and again. And then I got on drugs. And, you know, it was just that slippery slope.
And you kind of had a little free reign.
Well, yeah. I mean, it went between my stepdad was either really strict or buying me vodka. You know, like it was just this whole thing. And mom was, my mother is a beautiful, lovely woman, but she just wasn't a strict mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love me some Cindy Pullman.
Oh, Cindy's wonderful. she doesn't care what I talk about. So then when I started going out on the road with Meemaw, one great thing that my mom did growing up is that she never let us talk about Meemaw. Like, she never let us say, oh, my grandmother's Loretta Lynn, so let me do this or that. Like, she was always so afraid that we were going to get act entitled that she never let us do that. So once I learned how to do that, and when I was about 20, I could get into bars. I could hang out with cool people in Nashville. I could get drugs. I could do anything I wanted to do. I felt like I was bulletproof.
You got, like, the golden ticket.
Oh, my gosh. And I didn't know what a ticket. I mean, I took it to the max. And so very fast, I became addicted to cocaine and pills. And, you know, I remember the first time I took my first hydrocodone, Lortab. I took it and I thought, this is exactly the way I'm supposed to feel. Like, there's been something missing and now it's not. And this is how I'm supposed to feel. And so I remained addicted. I mean, I think you fight addiction forever, for years. And then when I was about 27, my stepdad died.
Greer?
That was my adopted dad. My stepdad's Roger.
Oh, Roger.
Yeah. Roger and mom stayed married for almost 22 years. So he was the longest man in my life. He was my dad. Yeah.
They were married a long time. Yeah. I didn't actually realize it was 22 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they were together 22 years. Yeah. Okay. They got married when I was six. So.
Okay.
Or something like that. So that's timetables off, but whatever. It doesn't matter. A long time. He died and I was at rock bottom at that point. I was a crack and heroin addict. And
did you know you were at rock bottom? Like,
I thought I'm
did you
going,
feel stuck?
I could feel black images around me all the time. Like, I was either hallucinating all the time or I could not. I weighed 85 pounds. I could not. My boyfriend was 70 years old. I mean, just, you know, I was living it hard. It was terrible. I mean,
is that what happens? It's a slippery slope. Like, it just starts kind of fun and then all of a sudden it got out of control.
I was a pill addict for so long and those were so expensive. And the withdrawals from pain pills is so excruciating that when you run out, you don't know what you're going to do with yourself. I mean, it is horrifying. It's the worst feeling you've ever had. And I was hanging out with this guy and I thought, I am never, ever going to smoke crack. How? I can't believe I'm actually talking about this. This is the first time I've ever talked about this. But
really?
I mean, like this, you know that. I mean, they kind of put a stop to it in media training, remember?
You know, we're all about authenticity and honesty now, right?
Yes, right. I mean, I'm glad that I can share these stories because I don't do that anymore. But anyway, I was in such a bad place and in so much pain. I tried it, and immediately it was like the doors opened.
And you felt
peace,
my God, or something.
Ecstasy,
yeah.
I think, would be the right word.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. There was no way, for almost a year, there was no way to get away from it. That drug.
Which one was it?
Crack.
Oh, wow.
And then to come down from crack, you would smoke heroin. And so it was terrible, Caro, and there was no way to get away from it.
It was a cycle.
It was my master. It was my master. And so when Roger died, I was able to somehow, they hadn't seen me in months. Nobody could find me. And somehow my brother found my phone number. I don't even know why I had a phone, honestly. And my little brother found my phone number, and he said, Tay, you know, Roger died in a car wreck. And Roger was using, so he died drunk driving. And I said, I'll be right there. And I finally got home after hours. I couldn't figure out how to get home. I finally got home, and I got arrested the next day and went to jail. And in the back of the cop car, I remember thinking, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus, I'm done.
Like, thank you, Jesus, for
thank
arresting
me. Thank you, Jesus,
me.
I'm in the back of a cop car. I cannot get out of this by myself.
No one's going to get you out.
Nobody's going to help me. Nobody.
So you were trapped, so you're going to have – did you have to detox in jail?
No. So my aunt, Angie, who I talked about, my savior, she let me sit in jail throughout the funeral and everything and let me sit in there. I had enough drugs in my system. I was okay for a few hours. Angie said, I will come get you out of jail, but you have to go to Cumberland Heights today. And I said, oh my God, that's all I want.
You that and you oh, that's all I want. You have to want
you
to be sober.
Have to want it. You have to be so sick and tired of the game that you got it. You're done.
Did you think you were going to die?
I did. Yeah. I mean, and I didn't care. But I knew that there was a part of me that wanted to live, you know, of course.
Yeah.
There was that small part that said, if I can get sober, I know I'll be okay.
Wow,
and
Tay.
And I had been to 6 treatment centers. So
but that was other people wanting you to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, or me trying to get out of trouble or manipulate a guy or, you know, get somebody off my back. Or
you hadn't really
this was the first time I said,
rock bottom.
Please take me there. And I went into the chapel there at Cumberland Heights, and I hit my knees, and I can remember the light swaying above me and me just saying, God, please take it away. And he did, right then and there. He took it all away.
Your addiction,
it was done. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I have to work on it all the time. I work with other people, you know, trying to share the message. And
right. And that's one thing about you is you have committed so intensely to your recovery and, like, making that a part of your life and, like, prioritizing it. And that's amazing. Like, hearing this hearing this story from you makes me realize what you ever overcame. Because, like, we never really talked in depth. We talked about it, but, like, I almost maybe didn't get you, is what I'm trying to say. Like, when we met, you had come through that dark valley.
Well, but, you know, if you think about it, I was sort of newly sober. I mean, I think we met when I was at my 5-year mark or something like that. But I was still so sick in so many other ways.
But, I mean, I almost didn't get you. Like, you could have, like, not been here on this earth.
Oh, yeah, sure. The fact that I'm sitting in the back of a bus with you right now
with
and I have 2
life.
Kids. Yeah, and a family. That is why when you say the word faith. Thanks be to God and Jesus. I mean, without my faith in doing the footwork, there's no way I'd have peace today.
So you got sober, mm-hmm. and then that's when what happened when you got sober? What did sober living look like for you, and what did your life
look
like?
So I was in rehab for about a month and a half, and I knew it wasn't enough, so I moved into a halfway house.
Good for you.
Yeah. My other sort of addiction, what used to be, would be men. So I got married right out of rehab, of course, you know.
And I will say your first husband was a doll.
What a nice
sweet,
man.
Sweet person. It's
such a nice man.
Yes, you married a great person.
I sure did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were great for each other. He was in sobriety, too. I have
good accountability partners.
Yes. There's not one bad thing I can say about sweet Jim Hill.
Nope.
I mean, not
love
one.
Him. Love him.
Yes,
I
great
love him
man.
Too.
Family was great. We just weren't in love, period.
Yeah, but you guys were very necessary in
we
each
were.
Other's lives.
We were great friends.
Yeah.
And we were able to get a divorce and say, you know what? We're just not in love. I love you, and I wish the best for you. And that's sort of about the time that I met you guys.
Yeah.
And it's a sobriety.
Oh,
yeah. That's when.
Was sober living, was it hard to get used to?
Sober leaving was not hard to get used to in the beginning because Jim and I both, we did it together. Our lives, our friends, everything was surrounded by other sober people. So I had that first 2 to 3 years, it was all sobriety all the time.
That's
and I was out, I went back out on the road with Meemaw. And, you know, Jim went too, so we brought our sobriety with us. And her band members were so great, and my aunts were so great about supporting my sobriety and my recovery.
That's awesome.
That I was very safe out there. So
then
I can remember getting an email from Anastasia Brown.
Yep.
And Anastasia, I ignored it because I didn't really know who she was at the time. Mm-hmm. And Patsy emailed me, and she said, Anastasia Brown is trying to get in touch with you. Tony Brown's wife. They are amazing people. You need to read this email. I said, oh, my God, I remember getting it. So anyway, so I read the email, and it said, you know, I have a reality show that I want you to do with Jennifer Wayne, John Wayne's granddaughter, and a descendant of Daniel Boone, Caroline Cutbirth. And I said, well, a reality show, sure, man, I'm in. So I came, I met you guys, fell in love with you. They wanted us to be mean on the reality show. I remember they wanted us to gossip and be the Laguna Girls and all that, and we did not want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Jen called me one cold December night. And I remember I was at Meemaw's office in Nashville, where I had lived previously when I was 19. And we were about to go out on the road. And I will say this. I consider my music a little more left of center. Caroline is a happy, butterfly,
country.
Pop country singer. And Jen, you know,
she's a little more Patty Griffin, yeah, but a little still more mainstream than you.
Yes. And I did not want to do music together at that time.
We weren't doing music together. We were just going to be on a reality show together.
And so y'all call me and you say, look, y'all call me on three-way.
Yeah.
And you said, look, we are going to be a duo if you don't want to be a trio, but we want to be a trio. And I was like, oh, hell no. Y'all ain't going to be a trio without me. So it was the fear of y'all getting famous and me not that said yes.
And that's sort of the conflict that you lived with the whole time during Stealing Angels.
Yes, but what a beautiful blessing Stealing Angels was.
I could not agree with you more. Stealing Angels blessed my life more than I knew. Like, I didn't know how much it blessed my life at the time.
Yes.
Did you? I kind of did, but afterwards.
I can remember us sitting on our bus. So we ended up getting a record deal and getting produced by Paul Wordley and Wally Wilson and Skyville Records.
And Paul did Dixie Chicks and all that. We were so excited.
Lady Antebellum.
We were like, we're going to be the new Dixie Chicks.
Oh, yeah. We really believed that. We did. And I think we were very close. We weren't. Well, I'm not comparing us to the Dixie Chicks.
I don't think we quite had the music.
We didn't have the music because it just wasn't there. We weren't in sync.
We weren't. All three of us were not quite on the same page.
That's exactly right.
And I think that came out in the music.
It did. Yeah. And it wasn't in the cards. And you remember it was... Patsy told me, what is his name? Don Cook would say, sometimes it's just not written in the stars.
And he's a hit songwriter. Yeah.
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 So I can remember us sitting on the back of our bus because they gave us a tour bus. They would fly us everywhere.
We toured the country. We opened for Faith Hill, Tim McGraw.
Oh, my gosh. Miranda Lambert, Kid Rock. I mean,
everybody.
We went to Iraq for 2 weeks. And we would say, we are so lucky right now. We will look back on this one day and we will say, oh my gosh, can you believe we got to do this every single day? We would be home sometimes one day a month, maybe.
Yeah. We got to see the whole country.
Well, and it gave me the lesson of, you know what? I don't think I want to do radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's in my heart to do it like that. And so I think we learned so many lessons from it. And well, I mean, I was telling the guys up there, he said, well, obviously you guys are still great because she's coming over to see you. And I said, you know, it's almost like, he goes, it's almost like you're Army brothers. You know, you live on this submarine, like this bus for so many years. You breathe the same air.
We lived in the same house, too.
Yes. And so you're just connected forever. Yeah.
You and I were, like, it was almost, you, me, and Jen were so
incestuous, almost.
And it was the only obsession in our life at that time.
Yes.
Like, we couldn't have any, even, like, our relationships, when we were at that point.
They had to be, like, third on the list.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it had to be. And the people that were managing us, if it wasn't, then we were dirty dogs.
I was obsessive with the career. But you know what? I'm so grateful for that because we gave it our full heart.
We gave it everything we had.
And then it fell apart. And tell me about that.
It fell apart. Well, so we had been doing it for what, three? We were on the road hardcore for a couple years.
I think we were together maybe like 5-6 years of Stealing Angels, like with the reality show and all that. Maybe.
So here we are. We're about to put out our third single. I'm at this point not done with Stealing Angels, but...
We had two singles that were in the... Like, one was in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, two in the 40s, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we were putting out a third one.
I hated the song.
Oh, yeah. Little Blue Sky.
I hated our second single. I think we should have put out Ladder. You know, I just had all these ideas. Okay, so I'm miserable. I think we're all miserable at this point.
Yeah, we're kind of at a breaking point.
We're over it a little bit. We're over our team. And so we're all claiming my part in
this.
We're
frustrated.
Yeah.
We're frustrated because it's not working on radio and we wanted it to.
I won't tell all of it because I don't want... Yeah,
no. Because every story has dirt and there's always a million sides.
Yeah, and we have so many parts in it and they have so many parts and that doesn't really matter.
And who even knows what's real or right?
I mean, who even knows, babe? Who even knows? But my part in it, what I did was that I met a man. At this point, I'm 35 years old.
And you're starting to freak out.
I've been married and divorced. We didn't put that in there. I did get divorced. I did say that.
And you're starting to freak out because you're...
Well,
thinking,
my eggs are going to dry up soon.
Yeah, you said
35.
That all the time. You said my eggs are going to dry up all the time.
Oh, my gosh. So I meet this guy, and the minute he grabs my hand, I think, oh, my gosh, that's it. There he is. I have found my husband. So he starts following us around the country. And after 1 week, we say, I love you. I don't know if I ever told you that. Because you would have killed me.
Well, I mean, y'all got engaged after like 12 days.
A month,
days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get engaged, and then I move to Seattle.
So Taylor, literally, so this is what's happening on Jen and my timeline. it's all good because like Taylor always moves, is very extreme, moves super fast. Like everything you do is high intensity.
Yeah, nobody's shocked that I'm getting moving or.
Yeah, it's your personality.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden though, it's like Taylor's like, I'm moving to Seattle. And we're like, okay. And we kind of think, okay, cool.
Well, because Tristan, our road manager at the time, is like, you know, we fly Ryan Bingham out of, whatchamacallit, it's, we can do it.
We'll make it work.
Yeah.
And so Jen and I are like, okay, we'll make it work. And meanwhile, though, our career is starting to suffer because we're not doing well on radio.
Yeah.
The label's getting frustrated.
Moved across the country.
Taylor's moved across the country.
I'm out.
It's expensive to keep this label going.
Yeah.
An independent label. We're partnered with Sony, but like it's independent funded. And so, but we're like, okay, we'll keep it working, even though the momentum was starting to die. And then, what happened? What did you announce to us that really, like, did
well,
shocker?
What did so in November, I realized I'm pregnant.
So you'd met this guy. How long had y'all known each other?
We were together 4 months.
When you got pregnant?
When we got pregnant. And I think, oh, great, I'm pregnant. That's so exciting. But at the same time, O-S-H-I-T, Wally always said, don't break up and don't get pregnant. Don't break up and don't get pregnant.
So all of a sudden, we're breaking up and we're... And
well, all of a sudden, things are already bad, and now I'm going to have to say, well, guess what? I'm pregnant. Something that's so exciting in my life, but that I know is going to tear us apart. And it does. I say, I don't want to do the radio tour anymore. I can remember in Jason Deere's office saying, I don't want to do the radio anymore. I can't. If y'all want to be a duo, go ahead. Y'all decide to be a duo. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, and then it just, we get another reality show. They film all that.
It's like the last attempt to stay.
It was just terrible.
Band.
It falls
the
apart. We don't really talk for a while. It was awful.
You and I didn't talk for like 2 years.
We would try.
But it was still like there's a lot of wounds there still. Like we were still so sad about it ending and we hadn't moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of like pain still.
Yes. And so we had to take time. So
time heals everything.
Time does heal everything. I ended up moving to Seattle with our little boy, our healthy little baby boy.
True Diamond. And that's where you really found your love, your music career that you
love. It is. I was able to do, I do a Loretta Lynn tribute out of there, but I was also able to do my other music and find a great recovery group. You know, you guys got to do Amazing Race. And then
it kind of worked out perfectly. At that time, like you start your life, and I think we were ready for a break. Jen and I get on Amazing Race. We do that, which was an awesome, awesome time of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I think we realized that at that point, we were it was better off this way.
Yes. And then after we were all able to have that break and you guys were able to experience a different life and me a different life.
Realizing there's more than Stealing Angels.
More than Stealing Angels, which was heartbreaking. It was almost like a divorce.
Yeah.
So then we all come back together. I move back to Nashville, have a second son. I've got music career. You get married to sweet Merks. Jennifer's got...
Merks is Taylor's name for Michael.
Yes. Jennifer's got her new trio. You've got your amazing hosting gig that's going so well. And
it's crazy how it works out. Like, you don't
think
it will.
If you do the next right thing, and if you have good intentions and a good heart...
And can say you're sorry.
Say you're sorry.
We were able to say we're sorry.
We were both able to stand up and say... You know, Caroline and I met. She flew out to Seattle, and I sat there, and I let her tell me every pain that she had. I'm not tooting my own horn.
No, you did. You let me say it, and you didn't try to say, but this.
No,
but
I just let you do it.
You let me tell you my raw hurt.
It was excruciating, too. I mean, it was...
I was really broken.
Yeah, it was hours of you telling me how I hurt you. But I was able to hold that, and it started...
And then it, like, released for me.
Well, and we were able to start building on that. And that's why we were able to sit here together as sisters again, as best friends, as
and happier
family.
Than ever.
Yes. And that's what it's about. You just keep walking.
Yeah.
You know, and don't leave destruction. Don't keep your own side of the street clean, and you're going to be all right.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be big enough to say you're sorry, too.
And don't point fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the end, who wants to be right? You know, it doesn't.
What is that saying?
Right.
You want to be right or happy? I always want to be happy.
Happy.
Happy. Happy. Happy.
Yeah. And I feel like you're the happiest you've ever been. Like, it's glowing. You have a beautiful farm. You have a beautiful family, beautiful husband, beautiful career. The career you always wanted.
Yes.
You always said when we were in the middle of doing Stealing Angels, a huge radio all across the country, you're like, I just want to do this Americana indie thing and do Loretta music and do a tribute and be barefoot and, like, do my thing. And yeah. Now you're doing that.
I know. It's insane.
You are literally doing what you always wanted to do.
Well, you know, you and I talk about, you put the energy out in the world. You say it to the world. It's going to happen.
Yep.
You proclaim it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's really quite unbelievable.
Yeah, it is, babe.
I'm so happy for you. So
thank you.
Tell me about what's going on now. So now we talked about your album. So you're doing this album.
I'm doing the album. I'm out at the ranch. I'm doing events for the ranch, where, like, the CMA Fest and this Nashville Bike Week. You know, I'm just really trying to represent.
You're like the PR for the ranch.
Yeah. I'm doing that. I'm doing these Loretta Lynn tributes all over the country. I mean, that's going so well. I do, because I love Meemaw's music. And I love that she lets me attach her name to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my two boys, Scout and True. And then my husband, who I just kiss every day, John Cody.
He's so sweet.
He's beautiful. And he has changed me.
How? Because he's the first man that you've respected. Jim, because you did. But something with John.
No, I didn't respect Jim. I thought he was a nice guy, but I didn't respect him. John.
He keeps you in line.
He does. Well, you know, when I moved to Seattle, and I'll just quickly go through this. When I had my first son, I have never talked about this. And I feel like it's a safe place with you. I had postpartum, and I relapsed after 8 years of sobriety. And I know you know that.
That was heartbreaking for you.
It was a terrible, I couldn't even believe it. John marrying a sober woman could not believe that could happen. But I stopped doing the things that kept me sober. Mm-hmm. I stopped getting on my knees and praying. I stopped talking to other alcoholics. I stopped doing service work. And I had postpartum, and in the C-section, they gave me Vicodin, and it just turned back on the addict again.
Yeah.
So I relapse, and he says, he takes the baby, they leave. Nobody knows this, but they do now, but he leaves, because at one point I said, if I ever relapse, take our children and go. And so he said, you told me to do that, and we're out. He said, you can either go back to rehab, or we're gone. So when I went back to rehab, I learned there were so many things wrong with me that I had no idea about. You know, like, when you get sober from crack and heroin, you're just getting sober from crack
right.
and heroin.
Yeah.
When you get sober from, I had relapsed on ADHD medication.
So it's so minor compared to, like, what it was.
But it was so huge
right.
in a life, the life
yes.
that I destroyed, my children, you know, yeah. like, these are huge things. Before it yeah. was just me and these
now you have, like, a
nasty
family
drugs. Yeah. And he keeps his thumb on me when I get out, because
and
I'm the mother
that.
Of his children now.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just some girl he's with. I'm not just his wife either. I'm the mother of his son.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps that thumb on me for a good year. I mean, I got to check in. I am. And, you know, that's my worst nightmare, because
but
I'm.
You need it.
It changed everything, Caroline. My emails, my Facebook, my journals, everything is open now. My texting.
It used to be more private. You want to
Well, I did all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to hide it all. I had to hide the money I spent. I had to hide my texts. I had to hide
yeah.
the gossip, my trails. You couldn't really be a part of my life, because I had so many secrets.
Yeah, and secrets keep you sick.
They keep you sick. And so all of a sudden, here's this man that cares enough about his son and his wife and his loyalty to us, that he's going to get in every nook and cranny, and he's going to pin me down, and I can either live that way, or I can go.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to stay. I choose to hold on. I choose to be in this marriage. And because of that, because of those choices, because of John's loyalty, because John showed up as the man I've never known to do in my life, because he was that man.
That's why I cried.
I know. Because he was that man. I changed. There's not one secret I have. There's not one text he can't read. He knows that. I leave my receipts laying around. We have one debit card. He can see everything I do.
Do you feel so free?
I think that's why when you say, who are you, and joy is my core word, it's because John Cody Finger made me be the best self he knew I could be.
And that is marriage. That is what
marriage
is all about, isn't it?
It's marriage.
He made you rise up.
Yeah. And I was there to meet him. You
and
know,
you did.
I did it.
Oh! That's awesome.
It is. Yeah.
What an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is like, because marriage isn't always beautiful, but marriage is about making you be your best self.
Yeah.
And holding you accountable.
To do it? Are you willing to do it? Because it's going to be uneven sometimes. Sometimes he's not going to want to rise up. Sometimes I'm
My
not going to.
My mom says that. She says it's never fair at the same time.
That's so great. Because somebody's got to do the
never
hard
equal
lifting.
At the same time.
Right. Somebody's going to have to do the heavy lifting. Carol, I'm going to have to get back to work. I hear
that's
him stopping.
It. No, hey, that's it. But here's the last thing. Leave your light. I like to wrap up with leave your light. Leave inspiration.
You know, I think we just did it. I mean, I think if there's anything I can say is just rise up. Don't point your finger at other people. Say you're sorry. Keep your side of the street clean. Be honest. Love your man with your whole heart. You know, just and be you. Everyone else is taken, as Sharon Cutbirth would say.
I love it, Mom.
All right, I love you, babe.
Love you, Terns. This is awesome. You're the best.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside. She got the scoop on the walls.
I hope you loved hearing from Taylor Linfinger. She is full of so much heart and soul. That girl has more passion, more drive. More just soul is the word I have to say for Taylor. I'm so grateful to know her. I'm so grateful for the life we've lived together. And she inspires me beyond no end. So I hope you loved that interview. Next week is so fun because I have the gorgeous Kelly Pickler joining me again. And this is so cool because I'm on her show, I Love Kelly Pickler. And I interviewed her for her show, I Love Kelly Pickler. So this podcast interview will be airing on Thursday, the day after I air this podcast, on Wednesday. So make sure to tune into CMT and watch it on Thursday, but then listen to it the day before with me, and you can see what's happening. It's so fun. And I have a surprise. There's a competition going on called Nash Next, and I am going to be interviewing the top 5 finalists. It's sponsored by Country Inn and Suites, and so I'm going to get all of the dirt for the Nash Next stars starting next week. So you guys get excited. It's going to be so fun. I cannot wait for you to join me. See you next week. Bye.